It's been 55 years since the Broadway debut of A Streetcar Named Desire, voted the number one play of the 20th century by the American Theater Critics Association. The show is still playing in theaters around the world and gave birth to an Academy Award-winning movie. Playwright Tennessee Williams broke cultural and political barriers with the steamy, tragic tale of a fallen Southern belle.
Wherever you are, I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
NPR's Debbie Elliott reports on this week's installment of Present at the Creation, a series exploring the origins of American cultural icons.
A Streetcar Named Desire is about the stormy triangle created when Blanche DuBois finds her way down from Mississippi plantation country to stay with her sister Stella and her brute husband, Stanley Kowalski, in a working-class New Orleans neighborhood.
They told me to take a streetcar named Desire and then transfer to one called Cemeteries and ride 6 blocks and get off at Elysian Fields.
Today, the streetcar no longer runs to Desire Street in New Orleans. But the city is still steeped in folklore about how the famous play took shape here.
On our left is 632 St. Peter Street. This was the home of Tennessee Williams.
By 1946, a glass menagerie had established Tennessee Williams as a talented playwright. Late that summer, he moved into this apartment in New Orleans' famous French Quarter. It was here that he put the finishing touches on a script he'd been working on for some time, according to Kenneth Holditch, who gives literary tours of New Orleans.
When he moved into that apartment, he was working on a play called The Poker Night. But he said from that apartment he could hear that rattletrap streetcar named Desire running along Royal and the one named Cemeteries running along Canal. And it seemed to him the ideal metaphor for the human condition.
The metaphor eventually became the title of his new play, a study of the depths of the human condition.
I lived in a house where dying old women remembered their dead men. Crumble and fade, regrets, recriminations, legacies, and other things, such as blood-stained pillow slips. I used to sit here, and she used to sit there. And death was as close as you are. Death. The opposite is desire.
Thomas Lanier Williams grew up in a staunch Protestant family in rural Old South Mississippi. His family later moved to St. Louis, where his writing career began. But Holditch says Williams always considered New Orleans his spiritual home. More importantly, it inspired his work.
He said, I found in New Orleans the freedom I'd always needed. And the shock of it against the Puritanism of my nature gave me the material I've been writing about ever since.
Williams reworked Streetcar untold times. Early working titles, besides The Poker Night, included The Moth and Blanche's Chair on the Moon. He kept making changes right as rehearsals for the Broadway play were underway. At Faulkner House Books in New Orleans, owner Joe DeSalvo opens a fragile blue cardboard binder with yellowing typewritten pages inside.
This was the first rehearsal script. This was the first script that was prepared for the play.
It's dated October 6, 1947, and throughout the script, lines are scratched through and names are changed. When Blanche is introduced in Act One, she's not Blanche DuBois.
She's Blanche Boisseau, which obviously was a good name, but Blanche DuBois seems to be better.
Other early versions of the script were set in Chicago or Atlanta. But Streetcar just wouldn't have been the same if it had not been set in New Orleans.
People have said that Williams absolutely invented the idea of desire for the 20th century.
Philip Colon, a professor of English at the University of Southern Mississippi, has written several books about A Streetcar Named Desire.
Streetcar was a play that dealt with, in one sense, a very standard story. Visiting in-laws, they're never welcome for very long. But it was also a play that dealt with four very first time on the American stage, female sexuality and male sexuality.
The play was brought to life by an impressive ensemble. Jessica Tandy played the delicate, fading belle Blanche. Kim Hunter was her trusting sister Stella. And a hot young Marlon Brando was Stanley, hell-bent on shattering his sister-in-law's aristocratic airs by exposing her sordid past.
Listen, baby, when we first met you and me, you thought I was common. Well, how right you was, I was common as dirt. You showed me a snapshot of a place with them columns, and I pulled you down off them columns, and you loved it. Having them colored lights. Wasn't we happy together? Wasn't it all okay that she showed here hoity-toity, describing me like an ape?
Some scholars suggest the character of Stanley was inspired by the playwright's live-in lover at the time he was writing the play, Pancho Rodriguez Gonzalez, a simple man known for his volatile temper. Indeed, many of the play's images and characters have roots in Tennessee's life, especially Blanche DuBois.
Listen, Blanche is Tennessee.
Dakin Williams is Tennessee's brother.
For instance, my brother never, if he were to tell you something, it wouldn't be necessarily true. Blanche says in the streetcar, I don't tell what's true. I tell what ought to be true. And so everything in Blanche was really like Tennessee.
The story broke through taboos in American theater, from the raw and sometimes violent sex appeal between Stanley and Stella to the revelation that Blanche's first husband was bisexual. Perhaps most controversial was the climactic scene where Stanley rapes Blanche.
Stabber, don't you come to me another step or I'll...
Wanna have a little rough house, huh? All right, let's have a little rough house.
In an interview a few months before her death, Kim Hunter, who played Stella, recalled that the show was just too much for some theatergoers.
At a few odd performances, there were even people that walked out that were embarrassed by the sexiness of the play, I guess, but of the openness, the honesty of it. They weren't used to that.
Nonetheless, when Streetcar opened in New York on December 3, 1947, at the Ethel Barrymore Theater, the response was phenomenal. After a moment of shocked silence, the audience clapped for 30 minutes. The initial reviews were raving, and the play went on to win a host of awards, including the Pulitzer Prize. And in 1951, Williams and director Elia Kazan again teamed to make the film, with nearly the same cast, except Vivian Leigh played Blanche. Just like Streetcar did on the stage, it broke new ground in Hollywood. Robert Bray is editor of the Tennessee Williams Annual Review.
When you see Brando come out on stage, for the first time, we have a guy who is sexually appealing in American film. You know, it was Jimmy Stewart in a hat and a suit before that. So it was revolutionary.
The smoldering Brando spends much of the film in tight, wet, or torn T-shirts that reveal his muscular frame.
Honey, where are you?
Since, there have been made-for-TV movies, ballets, and even operas developed from Streetcar. And each spring at the Tennessee Williams New Orleans Literary Festival, there's a shouting contest based on this famous scene where Stanley calls out from the courtyard, trying to get his wife to come down from the upstairs neighbor where she's fled after a brutal fight.
Hey, Stella! Hey, Stella!
Contestants rip at their T-shirts and call up to a second-floor French Quarter balcony.
Stella! Stella!
Debbie Elliott, NPR News, New Orleans.